What exactly reality might be is a question with as many answers as there are schools of thought in philosophy and science. Yet, when we delve deeper, these perspectives complement one another to form a shared understanding. The Call of the Unconscious. The Philosophical Psychological Audio Podcast with Martin Vermann. Develop trust in your own perception, avoid pitfalls, and gain inner clarity. Welcome to episode 3 of The Call of the Unconscious. In the first two episodes, we embarked on a philosophical and psychological journey, inspired by the insights of Carl Gustav Jung and German philosophers like Friedrich Nietzsche, Immanuel Kant, and Hannah Arendt. We explored how profoundly our perception is shaped by assumptions and beliefs. Nietzsche's assertion that there are no facts, only interpretations, highlighted the extent to which personal filters shape our worldview. We outlined how we can recognize these distortions to see more clearly, not just the world around us, but also ourselves. It's essential to pause, embrace silence, and nurture our connection to our inner world. Nietzsche's call to become who you are encourages us to preserve our uniqueness and resist the pressures to conform. This introspection can guide us toward greater freedom and personal growth. The aim of this podcast series is to help us better understand our perceptual patterns, free ourselves from their constraints, and embark on a journey toward a more authentic and fulfilling life. With this foundation, we can now delve into two central concepts of this series: the unconscious and reality. In today's episode, we first ask, what does the term unconscious mean? What do we mean by the call of the unconscious? We then turn our attention to the concept of reality, focusing on the constructivist perspective, as this philosophy heavily influences contemporary Western thought. By understanding this framework, we can identify potential biases where the unconscious may intersect with constructivist ideas. But first, what is the unconscious? How does it manifest in daily life, and what lies beyond these manifestations? In everyday life, the unconscious often appears as a troublemaker, a disruptor that seeks to communicate with us. It finds us on days when life feels stale and worn out. It amplifies the sense that something is going wrong. Perhaps we realize we are stuck in routines that feel increasingly alien. Questions arise about what still fits us. Definitions shift, conflicts surface, and we feel moved by something unfamiliar and unwelcome. In short, we sense an internal contradiction. Here are three examples of such inner conflict. Sigmund Freud experienced the unconscious firsthand when he repeatedly forgot an appointment with a patient. Upon analyzing this supposed forgetfulness, he discovered that his own unconscious conflicts and doubts about his ability to help the patient were blocking him. This insight helped him reevaluate his relationship with the patient and address his own discomfort. Carl Jung, after his break with Freud, faced intense self-doubt and inner turmoil, plunging into an existential crisis. During this time, he began exploring and documenting his dreams, visions, and fantasies, ultimately resulting in his Red Book. Jung encountered unsettling images and symbols from his unconscious, forcing him to reconsider his identity and direction in life. This period gave rise to his theory of the collective, unconscious, and archetypes. Steve Jobs hit a turning point in the 1980s after being ousted from Apple. He entered a deep existential crisis, took time off, traveled, and immersed himself in philosophy and meditation. During this phase, he questioned his drive for external success and developed new values. The unconscious guided him to reassess his priorities, leading to his eventual return to Apple with renewed clarity and vision. This period profoundly shaped his life and work. In these examples, the unconscious not only acts as a disruptor, but becomes a force that uncovers inner conflicts and calls for a reorientation. These examples also make it clear that the unconscious has a compensatory character. It balances our psychological imbalance and creates a new equilibrium between our conscious attitude and our unconscious background. When we recognize the character of compensation, we also recognize the nature of our one-sidedness. And the more clearly we find ourselves in psychological imbalance from a holistic perspective, the more we will be compensated by the unconscious. Since this podcast is mainly listened to in Western cultures, it is probably most meaningful for us to ask through which filters we perceive our reality in our Western value system. For how much and in what ways our attitudes tend toward one-sidedness is largely determined by our cultural affiliation. In this, we share a great deal in common. So, what collective reality does the unconscious encounter within us? It encounters a Western concept of reality that essentially rests on three historically developed philosophical pillars: realism, idealism, and the aforementioned constructivism. The tension between realism and idealism is so self-evident to us and so deeply embedded in our culture that we hardly notice it anymore. The philosophical historical background is as follows. Philosophical background advocates of realism assert the existence of an objective reality that exists independently of our perception and consciousness. Idealism, on the other hand, views reality primarily as a mental construct, arguing that our perception and consciousness form the foundation of reality and that the material world can only be understood in relation to them. Both philosophical traditions trace their origins back to the ancient Greeks. Realism emerged at the latest with Aristotle, continued through Thomas Aquinas in the Middle Ages, and gained another prominent proponent in the 20th century with Karl Popper. Despite being separated by centuries, Aristotle, Thomas Aquinas, and Karl Popper share the conviction that an objective reality exists independently of human consciousness. Realists emphasize that the world possesses an inherent structure and truth that precedes human interpretation. In contrast, idealism posits that reality comes into being only through the involvement of human consciousness. Plato, for example, sees pre-existing ideas as the true reality, with the material world merely a reflection of these ideas. In the 18th century, George Berkeley developed subjective idealism, while Immanuel Kant introduced transcendental idealism. Whether through Plato's theory of ideas, Berkeley's dependency of existence on perception, or Kant's epistemology, these idealists emphasize that our consciousness forms the foundation of reality and that the material world can only be understood in relation to it. Both philosophical directions, as well as the conflicts and tensions arising from them, are deeply familiar to us, both culturally and within our own psyche. In science, for example, we aim to understand objective reality, yet our theories and interpretations always impart a certain subjective tone to the knowledge we gain. Similarly, we view nature as a resource to be utilized, while at the same time recognizing it as something worthy of protection, something from which we emerged and that holds a deeper value. The same tension exists in our self-perception. On the one hand, we see ourselves as beings shaped by biological and social conditions, but on the other, we seek meaning that transcends the purely material and social realms. This interplay between realism and idealism constantly accompanies us, and we can observe how the unconscious intervenes when we lean too heavily toward one side or the other. This dynamic has a long tradition in which we find ourselves, whether we like it or not. Less historically entrenched but currently dominant is the framework of constructivism, which emerged in the 20th century. Let us now turn to this perspective in greater detail. Constructivists understand reality as being entirely created through social and cultural interactions. There is practically no objective reality. A number of representatives of this school of thought focus on different aspects of constructivism. Among them are Swiss developmental psychologist Jean Piaget and Austrian-American philosopher Ernst von Glasersfeld. They believe that knowledge and reality are constructed solely through individual perception and have no objective basis. Other proponents include sociologist Peter L. Berger and social anthropologist Thomas Luckmann. They argue that it is primarily societal institutions that shape our perception and construction of reality. Austrian communication scholar Paul Watzlawick and German systems theorist Niklas Luhmann emphasize that it is communication itself that creates different realities. The constructivist perspective as a whole asserts that reality is not an objective given, but rather is actively constructed by us through our perceptions, social interactions, and cultural influences. On its own, the idea of constructivism can be easily integrated into our Western value system, as realism, idealism, and constructivism complement each other as different perspectives on the nature of reality. Realism emphasizes an objective world, while idealism highlights the role of our consciousness. Constructivism brings both together by showing how we actively assemble our reality. Together, these approaches provide a comprehensive picture. Reality exists independently, is experienced through consciousness, and then reconstructed in our psyche. So far, so good, but modern constructivism presents several potential dangers, especially when its fundamental assumptions are misunderstood or overextended. The main problem of constructivism is that it views reality solely as a product of our thinking. This, in turn, makes it a significant issue in our present time. It simply lacks grounding. If the opinions of countless actors in politics, economics, and science are treated as equally valid, this inevitably leads to the dismissal of the objective factors of reality that still exist. This results in significant distortions, as we then forget, for example, that in economics, despite all the political maneuvering and theoretical constructs, there is an objective budget limit. Or is even a hopelessly indebted state ultimately a matter of opinion? Hardly. We also forget that politics cannot arbitrarily govern against the will of the majority of people, even if it believes that this majority does not actually exist. Furthermore, we easily overlook the fact that our predominantly third-party funded science may not be as objective and free as we would reasonably expect. And finally, all of us need work and must be able to finance our lives with the proceeds from the value we create for others. No amount of sophisticated constructs can relieve us of this necessity in the long run. There are, therefore, realities that we cannot simply debate away in the longer term. What can we conclude from this? Reality does not cease to exist simply because we ignore it by reducing it to a matter of opinion. Every construct eventually encounters objective limits. And this is precisely where the unconscious, with its compensatory nature, comes into play. The unconscious is the only existing objective authority capable of revealing to us what objective reality truly is. Those who wish to experience life in reality rather than in an artificial world of opinions, illusions, and insoluble conflicts naturally develop an interest in and a sensitivity to the initially enigmatic language of the unconscious. As previously mentioned, the way in which the unconscious compensates for, and often undermines, our conscious attitudes allows us to infer what the objective reality of our lives truly consists of. Beyond our personal perceptions, fashionable opinions, the spirit of the times, and regardless of which philosophical trends currently dominate our era. That concludes our psychological journey for today. We discussed the unconscious and reality, exploring how the unconscious often acts as a disruptor that brings inner conflicts to our attention and balances psychological imbalances, as illustrated by the brief examples from Freud, Jung, and Steve Jobs. We also critically examined the constructivist concept of reality. While realism, idealism, and constructivism together provide a fairly comprehensive picture of reality, overextending constructivism risks ignoring objective facts and reducing reality to mere opinion. The unconscious helps us move beyond such one-sidedness and recognize the objective reality beyond opinions and the spirit of the times. It reveals what truly matters, enabling us to reconnect with genuine reality. Thank you for joining us today. We hope this episode sparked some thought and inspired you on your own path. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love to hear your feedback, thoughts, or suggestions. Feel free to share the podcast with friends or acquaintances who might be interested in these topics. Until next time, stay curious and open to the voice of your unconscious. In the next episode, we will dive deep into the psychology of C.G. Jung and explore the tension between the collective unconscious and the modern constructivist perspective. Can archetypes like the hero or the mother truly be universal structures of the psyche, or are they nothing more than cultural constructs? Jung shows how the unconscious guides us, whether consciously or unconsciously, and how, by nurturing our relationship with this other side, we can actively shape our lives. A fascinating look at inner patterns, dreams, and the limits of human malleability.